Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show. This is a special recording in anticipation of the 2013 Manhattan Cocktail Classic. The Classic is a celebration of the intersections between cocktails and culture. With nearly 100 events spread across 5 days in 3 boroughs and a multi-day trade conference to boot, the Manhattan Cocktail Classic offers a vast array of unique experiences to enthusiasts and professionals alike, expanding the very definition of what constitutes a cocktail event. This year's festivities kick off with the gala on Friday, May 17th at the New York Public Library. For more information about all of the events and tickets, visit ManhattanCocktailClassic.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming at you live from the back of Roberta's, and today we'll be talking cocktails and hospitality. I'm your host today, Leah Eden, and we are on the line with David Kaplan and Alex Day, co-founders of Proprietors LLC, a design and consulting studio that works in the hospitality industry. Welcome, David. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're really excited to chat a little cocktail today. So let's just jump right in. During your time together at Death & Co., a bar in New York's East Village, the two of you sort of hatched up this plan for Proprietors LLC. David, I'm hoping you can kind of take us back to that time and give us a sense of what was going on in your lives, in the world. What sort of led to that collaboration?
What was going on in the world? It was a foggy Saturday morning. It was about a year after Death & Co. opened. I opened it with my business partner Ravi Durasi, and it was absolute bedlam. We had a very popular bar on our hands, but also one that was sort of wrought with legal trouble from the community. And it was an interesting time of ups and downs. We had a lot of PR sort of hype and a lot of great reviews and a lot of love coming at us from our customer base. But then on the other hand, we had this sort of legal battle to get through some liquor licensing issues. So we actually operated for 3 years under what's called a SAPA letter, State Administrative Procedure Act, meaning that we didn't really have a liquor license, but we were legal to operate. We were closing at midnight every night, but we were still kind of this popular little spot. It was an interesting time in that it really made allowed our entire staff to kind of band together and try to push through this. And at the same time, Alex started working at Death & Co. I think 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, that's about right.
3 to 6 months after we opened, I looked at this and all the sort of troubles that, bar ownership can sometimes have if you don't do everything right when you're opening up, a good lesson to be learned. But I really love this industry, and I wanted to do more in it, and I wanted to open more bars, and I wanted to get better at every part of it. So I formed a company called Proprietors LLC, and I asked Alex, I said, hey, I formed this company. Do you want to go halfsies on this thing?
And, how do you say no to that?
Yeah, real professional. That should be your first warning when your soon to be business partner calls it halvesies. Just as the ink was drying on the LLC formation, we got a call from a couple of gentlemen down in Philadelphia, and that ended up being the Franklin Mortgage and Investment Company, which was our first project.
Right. So, you come from this kind of hospitality world, this hospitality background. And I'm wondering, Alex, as you guys sort of started this endeavor with that first project, Was there something that you saw that was sort of missing from the hospitality world or the market that you felt like you could do differently? Or, you know, when you sort of were starting this collaboration, what did the both of you want to contribute to the world of hospitality that would be unique, that would be different?
Well, you know, I think when we started Proprietors, this was in 2007, when still the idea of the cocktail industry was so, so young. And really was in its infancy in general, and you didn't see, whereas now today, you travel around the country and go to bars with great cocktails, intention behind their spirits list, and a lot of focus with their bar staff, and that just simply wasn't the case just a few years ago. So we started this company, and because of the reputation of Death & Co. and the various places we worked at, that was just so very naturally aligned what we were doing with the craft cocktail industry. But also, I think, you know, it was an emphasis even back then of having hospitality being, you know, a very involved, personal, very very fun experience, collaborating with good cocktails so that they weren't, you know, disconnected in any way. And that really set the foundation for our company and has continued to be the driving force of everything we do.
So you use that phrase, good cocktail, and you use the phrase intention and focus. You know, David, can you give us a little sense of what, in your mind, is a good cocktail? What kind of intention or focus is needed to make a good cocktail?
Well, you know, it's a two-sided question, I think. You know, a good cocktail is anything that kind of fits the person, fits the mood, fits the kind of time of day. You know, it can be something from as simple as, you know, not really a cocktail at all, just, you know, a glass of wine, a Jameson, anything, and that's perfectly fine and appropriate, and Lord knows that can be the thing to mend every wound. But you know, for us, when we started out, it was really just about you know, I guess kind of a thoughtful process. There's thought and intention behind every step of the cocktail. And it's interesting, you know, as Proprietors has sort of grown and the more training we do and the more sort of beverage programs we help with, you know, the more you educate, the more people question why, which is a really fantastic process. So there has to be a reason behind every step. And I think that that is one of the things that makes a great cocktail. There has to be a reason for every ingredient, for every step, for every process, and you should see that in the end. The cocktail should come together as something much greater than each of its individual parts, and it should really kind of sing like nothing you've sort of experienced or could have imagined given that ingredients list. You know, and fantastic cocktails do that. You know, a great gin martini does that, or a Fitty Fitty. It is so much more than just vermouth and gin. And in my opinion, a lemon twist and dash of orange bitters. you know, it becomes something greater. I think that's a good cocktail.
Yeah, and I think one, even building from the, you know, building out from the individual cocktail into the larger room is a really big part of our process and what we focus on is that, you know, every cocktail is not right for every bar. And we do a lot of different types of programs, a lot of different bars, and, you know, a cocktail menu that maybe appeals to a bunch of bartenders, as we often like to drink very bitter and boozy things, is not right for everyone. So that we try to think of the whole room and the restaurant and what else is going on in the general environment, not just that individual cocktail.
Right, and I think that's an important distinction to make, is that you're looking at not just the cocktails themselves, but the space, the environment, the vibe, the feel. And I think that would be sort of a good place to, you know, talk a little bit about, give our listeners a little sense of what kind of work Proprietors does. What are you guys kind of all about? So maybe if Alex, could you sort of talk us through maybe one or two of your current projects to give us a sense of, you know, what are you guys actually doing out there in the world of hospitality?
Who are you people?
Let's get some details
back there. Well, It's interesting, as the Proprietors has grown, and of course our reputation really started and continues to be referenced to Death & Co., people have often come to us and they're like, we love Death & Co., can you do that for us? And, you know, the statement what we just talked about a few minutes ago of not every cocktail or experience is replaceable and insertable into every situation. So we spend a lot of time saying, okay, what is going on in this environment and what kind of drinks and what kind of experience can we give in that. And I think some really cool examples of that that we're currently working on, we're working with the restaurant group that's based in Chicago called Let Us Entertain You Group. They have a few properties out here in California where our office is, where we're speaking from right now, that they're starting to grow a little bit. Stella Rosa in Santa Monica and M Street Kitchen in Santa Monica. And they're just building one in Hollywood right now. And the focus of the food is, it is loosely Italian, or at least inspired by Italian cuisine, and particularly Neapolitan pizzas. The chef, Jeff, is absolutely amazing. He spent time at the Fat Duck, has all sorts of technical capabilities and creativity, but the food he's doing is very simple, straightforward, and speaks to the ingredients that he can go and grab in the markets around him. So, you know, what you get on the plate is very simple, but just so focused and good. And we have taken that with the cocktail program to do the same thing. You know, what local ingredients here make a lot of sense for the drinks.
Right.
So that would be one example of how are our drinks being informed by what we're doing and who are we collaborating with. And then another instance, a brand new project which we just took on, a place called The Parish in downtown Los Angeles with Chef Casey Lane here, is a beautiful bar that has been built with all the tools and toys that all of us cocktail geeks would love to have, lots of freezers, great glassware, great booze, great ice. And we're going to do a little bit more of a expansive, focused cocktail program. So something that would be more reminiscent of what we've done at Death & Co. in the past. Sorry to talk so long.
Yes, verbose. I think Death & Co., Death & Co. started out of an owner-operator seat, very quickly Alex became an owner-operator as well. So everything we've done has sort of been through that lens, and with a passion for all of those things. So Proprietors was really born to do all of those things, to help design, create, build, do beverage programs, train staff, and we've done that, and that's really been our passion. So our clients range from people that are first-time restaurant or business owners that need our help, and they want us on board for the whole thing, and then we bring them up through the first year of work, and then we kind of let them go gently and watch them sort of cruise away into the sunset, to larger sort of big box type restaurants that just need help with their beverage program, and kind of everything in between. We've kind of developed this Chinese takeout menu style of offerings. And all the while, we get to work on our own projects. So it's been a really, really cool and really fun, company. It's taken us to open a project in India a year and a half ago, open a project in Russia this year. We've had some really interesting clients, some really, really fun and peculiar and terrifyingly difficult work.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, that's one of the things that really kind of piqued my interest, you know, looking over the kind of work that you were doing is seeing that through proprietors, you guys have worked in Hong Kong, Singapore, India, you mentioned Europe. I'm sure there's others that I've missed. But, you know, David, can you maybe talk a little bit about how you see the concepts of hospitality or, you know, cocktail or beverage programs or, you know, cocktail culture? How do you see that changing across the countries that you guys have worked in?
We've run into, I think we've really only run into one sort of cultural, like, kind of holy shit moment.
Is he allowed to say that?
Yes.
I think so. Internet radio, we can curse, I think, right?
The beauty of internet radio.
Yeah, exactly. And that was in India. And because of the class system there was it was a bigger hurdle for us to get past. What I mean when I say that is we're really used to sort of a shared in the trenches, band of brothers, egalitarian sort of culture. And it was interesting heading over there, even such small things like in the restaurant that we were participating in, that we did the beverage program for, there were three sets of bathrooms there. There was the public restroom, which was very beautiful in the restaurant, in the public bathroom, and then there was the staff bathroom. And in the staff bathroom, there were two. There was a management bathroom, and there was the everyone else bathroom. And that was kind of a holy shit moment for me where I was like, we kind of need to go from the top down on this one to really engender the culture that we're used to. And by that, I mean the the restaurant culture that we're used to, the, you know, incentivizing our staff through education, a shared passion, a love, a true love for this and for, you know, the knowledge behind everything. And sorry, Alex, go ahead, jump in.
Well, I was just saying, you know, the idea that there's always upward mobility in the restaurant industry, and especially in bars, you know, there are no rules to what we do. We've all been kind of making this up as we go, and I'm a prime example of that. You know, I started out as the Sunday night bartender at Death & Co. shortly after it opened, and now I'm one of the owners there, and the possibilities are really endless, and we like to engender that within every project we do, you know, as much as we can on the consulting level, but definitely on the ownership operator level. We want to work with great people and see them succeed and work with them for the future.
But, you know, I will say quickly, too, you know, we did get there, even in India, and I think Diageo was a huge sort of win in their sort of global reach. Diageo has a competition called World Class, and they do it all over the world, as the name would indicate. And so they have one in where is it in India? I'm sorry. Both of us are forgetting.
Delhi.
Thank you. which is just a few hours north of where we were opening in Mumbai. And so our sort of second head bartender, I guess you would call him, because initially we had an American head bartender, the sort of local head bartender that we had there, he actually won World Class for India and went to Rio last year. So the bar team there, and this is very new in India. So the bar team there saw that this could bring you somewhere greater. This does mean other things. Now that's just one half of it. The other half is that, you know, this is a really beautiful trade, and that's okay with it just being that as well. And it's something that it's a continuous learning process. And we found that no matter what culture we're in, where we're at, we see that within cocktail culture, which is one of the things that I really, really love about it.
That's interesting. And, you know, I want to go back for a minute to something you were saying about, you know, looking at the cocktail culture, the industry as being kind of this space of creativity where there don't have to be rules to what you're doing. And yet these are businesses that, you know, hopefully and should be running smoothly. And, you know, the two of you yourselves are running a business. And, you know, Proprietors has this sort of interesting business plan or model. It's sort of this mix of hospitality, design, operations. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, you know, when you guys are sort of developing a cocktail program per se, how do you balance those elements? So, you know, David, looking at issues like taste and customer demand, you know, aesthetics, the visual characteristics, but also the efficiency. So the finances of the company, how quickly a bartender can make different kinds of drinks, the ingredient costs, like how do you piece that all together?
You know, it all starts with kind of a very holistic approach, you know, and we'll keep it at holistic. I was going to go so far as to say hippy dippy, but we'll stop it at holistic. We really look at each project in a very holistic approach, whether we're doing everything, and it's a brick and mortar ground up build, you know, in those instances, we get sort of into the community, we understand where they're at, the neighboring restaurants, kind of what the food culture is. The market in terms of the demand, the price structure, everything like that. And, you know, we'll sort of go from the top down. And, it's definitely one of the things that keeps us excited about our job is that each place that we do is different. We don't say, hey, these are great cocktails, it's going to be great for you guys, or these are the cocktails we do, we're going to plug them in here. We look at each, you know, for our larger restaurant groups especially, we look at each concept, each location, the demographics there, and we'll say, all right, you know, especially the type of place it is. Is it sort of a fast casual place? Is this the first time they're doing a bar? How do we introduce that idea of a bar in a very thoughtful way? Now, that can be from everything from the floor plan, the flow of the restaurant, to the service style, the offerings, and it like I said, it's a very holistic approach in that it has to be everything from top to bottom. And one of the, in terms of the speed and efficiencies, one of the areas that we really love focusing on is actual underbar design. Because it's often a forgotten about area. And 90% of the time, gosh, I would even say more, 99% of the time, just painfully high, you see that have the least amount of thought put into the systems and efficiencies in the restaurants. So when they're mapping out, they being restaurant designers, you know, whoever it is that they are, when they're mapping out the restaurant, they'll look at the floor plans, they'll look at the flow on the floor, they'll get a kitchen designer in to design the kitchen because they understand that that's incredibly important for the heart and soul of the restaurant. However, the bar is almost always the profit center, and they'll just throw a bar in there. They'll say, well, local health regulations say we need a 3-compartment sink, we need this, and then we'll call it a day. One of the things that we really love doing, and I'll let Alex speak to this because it's certainly his area of expertise, is going in and actually designing the underbar so it has, you know, maximum efficiencies possible. There are fewest steps, fewest wasted movements, and it's something that we've really, you know, we've gotten so geeky about that we've done time tests, have, you know, absurdly pretty little infographs about, just to convince people that, hey, this makes you money. A faster bartender means more drinks, means happier customers, means a happier bartender, means more tips, means more profit for you. And it's so small of an investment.
Well, so Alex, tell us a little bit about that. Like, what are some of the specific things or the examples in the underbar that either work really well for the space and the bartender, or can just, you know, destroy a night?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We try to think of bar design as being essentially a pivot movement. We'll often talk when we're training a staff about, you know, bartending being very similar to graceful dancing, where you're doing fluid movements that are intentional, using your ingredients, having everything within an arm distance, and having a sense of strength in your movements, right? So instead of, you know, having to take two steps and grab something, you simply have to pivot onto one foot, grab it, and continue making your drink. So some of the successful things in that are simply having a good work surface, not having a rinky-dinky little rail that is going to fall over as soon as you put a cocktail shaker on it, but having your work surface be drainable, be usable, be some sort of tactile surface, be it stainless steel or dry deck matting that you can actually build drinks on, having sinks close at hand, having all your booze and speed rails, having your ice close at hand, and having just your general cockpit. Dave likes to say that, you know, a well-designed bar is like a submarine. You have everything around you in close quarters, and it's really fast and essentially bulletproof.
And waterproof.
Definitely waterproof. So that's generally where we start. And it all depends, Dave mentioned a second ago, Department of Health considerations, and every municipality is very different on that. So we have to start from scratch no matter where we're beginning on this. But, you know, generally speaking, just having that cockpit together is invaluable.
Right. Well, it certainly sounds like you guys have put a great deal of thought and experience into these designs. Well, you know, David and Alex, we are unfortunately just about out of time, but I know that you guys are both involved with the upcoming Manhattan Cocktail Classic, and was hoping you could just kind of give us a sense of, you know, how did you get involved, and where can we expect to see you during the weekend of events?
I first started getting involved at the first preview event a few years ago. I taught a couple of seminars with Don Lee, and since then have just been involved as much as possible. I think this year, Dave, you can speak to more how we're going to be involved.
Yeah, we're doing stories from behind the bar again. It's one of my favorite things. We do stories from behind the bar at Death & Co., and I always think it's a total riot that people are interested enough and passionate enough, either from a consumer base or from, you know, other bars, that they want to go and just, you know, hang out and hear you talk about the bar and about the story. And that's exactly what we do. We serve drinks and sort of badger each other and have a really good time poking fun at each other and, you know, regaling ourselves and the people who join us with the tale of Death & Co. and the now almost 7 years of business. And yeah, and then you'll also see everyone from Death & Co. Doing all sorts of independent events, helping out with others, bouncing around, attending all sorts of events. Yeah, we're everywhere. Certainly love MCC and think what Leslie has created is absolutely amazing, and the gala is something that's never to be missed. It's just stunning.
Well, that sounds like a whole lot of fun, and you know, the events that you mentioned are just few of many, many exciting events that are running through May 17th through the 20th. People can find out more about those events at www.manhattancocktailclassic.com. Get your tickets today. David and Alex, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. We certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on. Absolute Great. Pleasure. Thank you.
Great. Well, you know, this, like all of our 30 Live weekly shows, are available for free as a download through iTunes or Stitcher. You can also tune in and learn more about our programming at www.heritageradionetwork.org. If you like what you hear, click that donate tab. Become a member today. Thanks so much for listening and stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.